Let us have a short word of prayer before our brother Deacon Samuel Chow comes to minister God's word to us. So let's pray. Our Father, we commit this time once again that you will direct ourselves as your word is being ministered to us. Father, we pray especially for Brother Sam, Lord, that this time is about quite close for him as well as for us, as he's going away to study in Singapore. Lord, we want to pray for him, that you will guide him also and bless him in every way. Lord, we pray now that as he brings your words, you will give him that unction of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, Deacon Sam's message is Christian Living in a Non-Christian World, and is taken from Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. All right, I'm going to just read that, this passage of scripture, after which Brother Sam will come up to bring God's word. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with a part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Brother Sam now.
Well, earlier we read from Psalm 121, the sun will not smite thee by day. Perhaps that will be appropriate in Singapore or Dubai. Maybe for us it's more like the snow, the icicles, or the black ice will not cause us to smite us. But regardless of that, watch night is just as much as a time of reflection as it is what an encouragement for the new year. What will happen in the new year? What should we do in the new year? Likewise, the world, they do the same. They celebrate the past year, and they make resolutions or plans for the next. And so, my sermon today is more on preparing you for next year. What should we do in 2017? Now, I don't know what circumstances will meet the church and the Christian and us Christians, but I know that whatever happens, it won't be easy. Your faith is going to be tested. Every corner, every profession, whether you're young or you're old, your faith and your convictions will be put to the test. And I chose this passage in Daniel because we are very much like Daniel. We're not captives per se, but Daniel was a stranger in a foreign land. Daniel's faith was tested. When Daniel was brought to Babylon, the Babylonians, they wanted Daniel to conform to the practices. Perhaps the Babylonians were thinking, let's make this Jew one of us, so that one day Daniel could go back home, he could go back to his homeland and tell others as a sympathizer, say, well, they have treated us well, and here is all this Babylonian ideology and propaganda. Well, it's the same with us today. The world wants us to change, Christians. In 2017, in the years to come, the world will want you to change. I see three, just quickly, there are three points. What are three ways that the world will cause or want you to change? The first is the world will want you to change your beliefs. Look at verse 4. It says, children in whom no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Well, Daniel and his friends, well, they're most likely noble, those who were smart and skillful. And the first thing that the world will want to do is they're going to change how you think. Your belief system. They'll probably say, forget the Ten Commandments. Forget that there is only one true God. Here's Baal. Here is Nebo, the god of wisdom and writing. Come over here and let's meet Ishtar, the god of fertility. Oh, and over here there's Ashtaroth, the god of war. Well, today we don't have the same forwardness. But Satan is known as the deceiver. He takes God's word, he twists it a bit. And so maybe our modern day Babylonian education sounds like this. Theistic evolution. Proponents try to reconcile evolution and the Bible. God made the building blocks and all the natural laws, and then God kind of took a step back. And then he let all these things happen. And then maybe sometime here and there, he felt like he needed to zap a bit, add a mutation, and then the world as we know it today became. We have another modern day Babylonian doctrine is that of the lordship controversy. God is my savior, but he is not my lord. It sounds very much like antinomialism, which means anti against law. Nomialism, because people want to believe that God has set us free from the grace, has set us free under grace, and that we are no longer bound by law. Tied to this is hypergrace. If sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20. But what these people forgot to do is read on in Romans 8, where Paul says that God forbid that we take such an understanding of God's grace. What other modern-day Babylonian doctrines do we have? Well, perhaps we have the prosperity gospel. Then maybe in the future, in the near future, we'll have a combination of Christianity and Islam, Chrislam or something like that. This muddled mess. And we have to be alert. When I was just at the Sky Train station the other day, a person came up to me and said, Christmas is about Jesus. And then I was surprised because he was holding in his hand a Book of Mormon. We have doctrines today that set us apart, that causes us to change our original convictions. Not only that, we also know that with Daniel, they gave him a new education, but they gave him a new language. in the hopes that forgetting his mother tongue, he would forget his motherland. And today we have the language of pluralism. We have all religions get you to heaven. We have modernism, humanism, hedonism, materialism. Here's a big one, the language of tolerance. Maybe it's a Canadian thing with all us being nice. Maybe we just don't want to admonish and correct a wrongful act. Don't be deceived. I think here the only reason Daniel was able to remain faithful to God is because he was well-rooted in the scriptures. He was well-rooted in the scriptures. We know of this because in Deuteronomy, that the parents were commanded or instructed to teach the children. Teach the children the commandments or teach them the law. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and while thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and while thou risest up. So it's important for us to teach others, or to learn, memorize scriptures, read it. Parents, teach your children. So the first deals with your belief. They will try and teach you or change your belief system. The second thing that the world will try to change is your lifestyle. Look at verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. The Babylonians gave them meat and wine. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with eating meat. We have to remember that God has set aside some dietary laws to set the Jews apart from the Gentile nations. So some commentators here have speculated that the meat was prohibited according to the Mosaic law. Others have speculated that it was a preparation of the meat. For instance, the wine. The sacks that they were used to hold the wine was soaked first in blood. And because of that, they could not drink of the wine, for it could contain small amounts of blood. However, the little do we know is that it would defile Daniel and his friends. And that's why in verse 8 it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He would not make himself unclean with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And that's why he asked and requested for his diet of pulse or veggies and water. And that's what the world will try to do. The world will make you think like them, talk like them, act like them, drink like them. They are going to indoctrinate you with their ideas, their philosophies. That deals with your mind. Then they're going to make you do or act like them. Your actions, your behavior, your lifestyle. And I believe here Daniel avoided this not only because it was against some dietary laws, but it would also lead Daniel and his friends to a level of materialism, of self-indulgence that was beyond what would have honored God. Satan wants you to indulge in some sin, to change your lifestyle, to look like the world. We're meant to be shining lights. We're meant to be shining lights in the world. I was just reading an article. They were saying that eventually the stars are losing or will lose their light, their shine, or whatever light we see, because the rate of stars that are dying, it's much greater than the rate of those that are being born. And so it made me start to think, what would happen if we just had a night without stars? It was just pitch black. Well, we wouldn't have the beauty of it all, right? It's the stars, the light in the dark sky that makes it so wonderful. And so when we are trying to be like everyone else, like the world, well, we're just making the night dark. and that we will be just like everyone. There is no twinkle, there is no sparkle, there's no shining, there's no marvelous work in the sky without stars. So we are given, in 2017, the world will want to change your philosophy. Secondly, they're going to want to change your lifestyle, how you act. Thirdly, they're going to change your identity. That is in verse 6. Verse 6, it says, now among were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So Daniel and his friends, we know them more by the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And the story of how they refused to bow down to the idol and they were thrown into the fiery pit. Well, the world will give you a new identity. Here in Daniel, Daniel means God is my judge. It was changed to Belshazzar, which means the keeper of the hidden treasures of Bel, which is a Babylonian god. Hananiah means the grace of the Lord. It was changed to Shadrach, meaning the inspiration of the sun. Mishael means he that is a strong god was changed to Meshach, which means of the goddess Shach. Azariah means the Lord is a help, and that was changed to Abednego, meaning the servant of the shining fire. And this practice is not uncommon in the Bible. Joseph was changed. Pharaoh changed Joseph's name to Zaphnath-Paneah in Genesis chapter 41. And he also changed the name of Josiah's son to Jehoiakim. So I want you to ponder on this question for a bit. What is your spiritual identity? Because at some point in your life, you are currently going or will go through some sort of identity crisis. And you will have to make an important life, a more important choice in your life. Daniel did this. His friends did this. There's another person that comes to mind that is Moses. Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Moses, when he was come to years, refused. He made a choice. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, like Daniel, was probably brought up in the Lord. Remember, Moses' nanny, his babysitter, was his mom. But you see, Moses and Daniel were born Jewish, but raised in a foreign society, Egyptian or Babylonian. Now, we are not born Jewish, but many of you either have been born in a Christian home, or many of you have heard the gospel at various points in your life, and we're all living in the spiritual Babylon. And you're going to have to make a choice. What is your spiritual identity? And I want you to listen to this carefully. Don't try to be everything to everyone. Don't try to be everything to everyone. Be who Christ wants you to be. Be who Christ wants you to be. And so when we think of the upcoming year, may we be like Daniel. It says in verse 8, Daniel, what did he do? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel's friends, they purposed in their hearts not to bow down to, in Daniel chapter 3. Be like Daniel, who continued to pray despite the decree against prayer in chapter 6. Attempt to be like Daniel and see what God can do through you. There's a good verse in Daniel as well. It says this, Daniel 11, chapter 32, but the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploit or do and take action. What will you do? Who are you spiritually? Now, the Nebuchadnezzar's hope was this, that Daniel and his friends will be influential sympathizers to his own people. They thought that, well, we're going to use them to win over the sympathy of the Jews. Little did they know that Daniel would be used in another way. Daniel would rise to fame. He would interpret dreams and visions. He would rise in his status. Some have also said that we've recently heard about the wise men. The wise men came to know about the scriptures because long ago Daniel brought them. He taught them. He instructed them. Or through him it came to be because of that. And so perhaps there's some of us who are the flip side. We're not supposed to be sympathizers to convince other Christians that the world is the way to go. Let's flip it around. Let us dare to be like Daniel's. Let's dare to be sympathizers for God in the sense that, well, this is our testimony. And this is how God works through us. And this is what God can do through me. And how through my obedience, he will bless us. He will protect us. And so maybe if you are in a relationship with an unbelieving spouse, or you are in an unequal relationship in your family or with your friends, we are testimonies. We are sympathizers to the other side. It just depends whether you are a sympathizer for God or for Satan. So the challenge is this. Will we dare to be like Daniel? Well, there's a couple things that we can follow after Daniel. Well, we can be calm like him. No matter how dire the situation, we may be captives in a foreign land, God will work through our circumstances. We can be committed like Daniel. Don't compromise God's moral law. Daniel purposed in his heart. Be courageous like Daniel. Dare to do what is right. Not according to the world, but according to God's word. And may God help us. I think we all have the potential. We have the potential to do exploits for God, to do much for God. I think the cantata is a testament to that. Each one of us is given relationships by which to bring others or people to church. And so you can bring and fill in the pews. And we can bring others and through our testimony. But once we start looking like the world, there is no more testimony. There is no more gospel. There is no more witness. So what will we do in the new year?